Well, good evening. That singing sounded great from where I was, and I know you were enjoying worshiping the Lord together. We're excited about this evening. I know those of you who have been a part of our church in previous baptisms, you know that this is a real highlight in the life of the church, a great opportunity to hear how the Lord has worked in other lives. And it always, if you're a true believer, then you are moved by the testimonies you hear because you realize you see the grace of God traced in another life just as it has been traced in your own. It reminds you of what the Lord has done in your own heart and life. And if you're here tonight, and I don't want to make any assumptions, if you're here tonight and you have never come to the place where you have humbled yourself before God, you've acknowledged that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and you've been willing and expressed the willingness to God to turn from your sin and to have Christ, I hope tonight as you hear these testimonies, the Lord will use them to encourage you to that end before you go to bed this evening, that you will get alone with God, you'll pour out your heart to Him. Just a quick reminder of what baptism is and isn't. It's so important that we understand what we're doing. This appears to be anachronistic. It certainly doesn't appear to be in sync with the culture, and that's true. And yet we do it because our Lord commanded it. I was reminding those who are being baptized tonight just a few moments ago that about a week and a half after our Lord's resurrection, He gathered with 500 of His disciples, those who had truly become His followers, on a mountain in Galilee, where much of His earthly ministry had taken place. He met them there, along with the 12, of course. And in that context, He gave them a very clear, permanent command. This is what He said to them. He said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And in light of that authority, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. Spread the gospel. Tell others the good news that I have spent my earthly life telling. And have them respond as much as it lies within your power to do so. And once they have become disciples, then you are to baptize them," Jesus says, "in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then you are to teach them to observe all that I have commanded you." So this is what our Lord commanded us to do. 2,000 years ago, after His resurrection, He gave His followers this command. And in case there's any question of its permanence, He ends that statement by saying, "This is to be done to the end of the age, until He returns." This is what the followers of His are to do. But I also encourage those who are being baptized tonight with the wonderful reality that our Lord includes a fascinating statement in the middle of that. He says, "And lo, I am with you always." In other words, as we carry out that task, He is with us. As they share their testimonies with you tonight and are baptized, the Lord is with them as well. He is with us in this process. He promised He would be. Let me remind you, we just recently went through a message on baptism. I went through what the Scripture teaches on this issue, but just briefly to remind you that the only candidate for baptism are those who have become true followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Make disciples, then baptize them." So this water is not a saving amount of water. It doesn't accomplish any sort of spiritual change in the lives of the people who will be baptized. It doesn't somehow save them. Instead, it is a sign. It is a picture, a visible picture of a spiritual reality that has already happened to them. They have already been changed by the power of Christ. They've already become His disciples, and they have died to the person that they used to be. And they have, by His grace, become a new person to live a new life. That's really what this pictures. It pictures that they have become followers of Jesus as they confess Him as Lord. And it pictures that the person they used to be has died. And they're now a new person because Christ has changed them. So I hope you'll be encouraged by their testimonies. I hope you'll pray for them. In fact, those of you who are a part of our church, let me encourage you to pick a couple of the eight who will be giving their testimonies tonight and pray for them and let them know you're praying for them and encourage them in the days and weeks ahead.
Hi, my name is Chase Mason, and I would like to tell you about my testimony. Ever since I was little, I thought I was saved. I grew up in a Christian home, we went to church, and I had quiet times. I thought I was going to heaven. However, as I started to get older, it was probably pretty evident that I wasn't saved. I lied constantly. I cheated. I took more candy than I was supposed to, and even lied to cover it up. I found myself wanting to stop, but I couldn't. When I was 11, the Lord started to really convict me of my sins. I felt more guilt, and it started to worry me. On December 24th, 2009, the Lord accepted me into His family. It was during the last songs of the Christmas Eve service that I saw my sin, and I knew that I wasn't saved. I repented and did the U-turn that my Sunday school teachers always taught about. I knew I was saved, and it was a very happy Christmas. I hadn't been saved by my works, but by my faith in Jesus. Like it says in Titus 3:5, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds, which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Little did I know at that time that the Lord wanted to clean house. I started to remember sins that I committed, and it made me have to confess them. It was a long process of cleaning almost every single sin I could remember since age 7. It made my heart lighter and lighter as I confessed to the Lord my sin. I'm very thankful that He brought me through it. Since being saved, the Lord has brought me closer to Him. He has given me peace in my heart, and He has given me a love for His Word. I enjoy going to church because I get to read the Word in His church. God has given me things, but He has also taken away them for my benefit. It was a struggle, but the Lord has shown me that things are nothing when it compares to Him in the kingdom of God. God put away the idols that were competing for His place, and I'm very grateful that He did that. He has given me the desire to pray throughout my day and to do what is right. He has given me a sorrow for the lost, and I hope that I get opportunities to witness. It has been a journey through these past years, getting to see what God has had in store for me, and I look forward to the days ahead. In Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, "Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." It's because of all of this and the commandment to be baptized that I come tonight.
Chase, thank you so much for your testimony. It's wonderful to see God's work in the lives of those who have grown up in Christian families, who've been encouraged and taught the ways of God. But at some point, repentance has to be yours, and faith has to be yours. Because you have repented of your sins, because you have embraced Jesus Christ as Lord, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
I am 14 years old. I was born in China. My name was Guo Lini. I lived in an orphanage for the first 10 years of my life. I did not know that there was a God who loved me and sent His Son to die for me. In the orphanage, I was selfish and sometimes lied and stole. One day, there was some woman who came to play with us. One of the women came to me and told me that Christ died and was nailed to the cross. I didn't know what she meant, so I thought that when I died, I would be nailed to the cross and others will too. I feared many things and believed superstitions. Then I was adopted and came to America. My family took me to Sunday school, a church, Awanas, and BSF. Then one day I realized that I wanted to follow Christ, so I got on my knees beside my bed and confessed my sin and asked God for forgiveness and said that I know I am a sinner, that I need Christ, that I believe that Christ is the Son of God and that he is perfect. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. After that, I felt joy in my heart and I wanted to serve him. I am grateful that he adopted me as his child so that I won't have to suffer in everlasting hell, but I have eternal life in Christ Jesus. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Psalm 107:2-3. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary and gathered from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. I feel much happier than before in my heart. I enjoy going to church, singing to God, and reading my Bible. When I disobey God, I feel bad and ask for forgiveness. When I am in trouble, I always go to God in prayer. Sometimes when I sing, I think of the words, and they came alive, and I sing with joy in my heart. I feel at peace with God. I cultivate my walk with God by going to Sunday school, church, youth group, studying a Bible class, in homeschool, memorizing scriptures and Bible quiz, and I am glad, and I am reading the Bible through this year. Now I want to be baptized in obedience to Christ Jesus, my Lord.
Anna, thank you so much for your testimony. You are a testimony to the fact that our God is the God of the nations and that he loved the world so that he sent his Son to reach so that people from every tribe and tongue and nation would one day gather around his throne together. We're grateful God brought you here as well. You're also a wonderful testimony of the adoption we all enjoy. You have a living picture of what happens when God adopts us into his family. Anna, because of your clear testimony of faith in Jesus Christ, because you love him and because you've committed yourself to him, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Adam Messenbrink. I'm a Christian, and I was blessed by growing up in a Christian home. My family was deeply involved in the church, and it's the source of many of my earliest memories. That's where I learned about God's love and about his Son. Our pastor taught us Luther's Small Catechism, and we learned about Jesus' death and resurrection and what that meant for us. And that's where I came to understand that Jesus Christ is my Savior. I don't have a single moment I can pinpoint where I finally understood that I was saved, but I do have several events in my life that matured my understanding of the word. I married my best friend, and this helped me understand Christ's love for the church. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her." We had children, and this helped me understand more about God's love than any other thing in my life. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And I've had a few health problems throughout my life, and I used to think of these as a roadblock, but now I understand that God wanted to give me an opportunity to become a better man. If we, in James 1, 2 through 6, it says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, as we encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask the Lord, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. For he must ask in faith, without any doubting, for he who doubts is like the surf in the sea, driven and tossed in the wind." My family started coming to Countryside about 2 years ago. We went through the new members class, and I was asked about baptism. And I had been baptized as a child, and I didn't understand why I needed to be baptized. I decided to study, and I asked the Lord to help me with this. And I found in the scripture that baptism is something that Jesus asked all believers to do, but he didn't require it as part of our salvation. Jesus died for my sins, and he paid my debt. I try to be like Christ, live my life like Christ every day, and every day I fail miserably. This is something I can do, I feel compelled to do, and he asked me to be baptized, so I'm here tonight to obey his command.
Well, Adam, thank you for your testimony, and it is what God has commanded us to do, but it's also a wonderful chance to confess our faith in Jesus Christ, that he is our Lord, that he's changed us because of your clear testimony that Christ is Lord and that he has changed your life and made you one of his own. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Heather, and I'd like to share my testimony with you. Like most people here, I was born into a Christian family. I went to church every Sunday and came to youth group every Wednesday. Even though I had been taught from very young that being born in a Christian family did not automatically save you, I still, with my own foolish belief, believed that I was on the path to righteousness. By the age of 12, I entered into junior high and quickly became involved in the SALT ministry with Jonathan Anderson. I proclaimed to know Jesus Christ, but my life outside our church was drastically different. I was openly rebellious to my parents and couldn't care less for anything to do with God or his people. The summer of my eighth grade year, my family moved to Florida. I made new friends easily, but the friends I chose were not a good influence, which led me further into sin. My world was turned upside down, and I openly became a completely different person. The following year, my family moved back to Texas, and almost immediately, my parents knew something was different about me. I remember a very distinct conversation with my mom in which she told me that I used to be happy and that I used to love going to church. What had changed, she asked. I quickly shrugged her off and told her that nothing had changed, that she was sorely mistaken and went about my business. This conversation continued on for the rest of my high school career, and each time, the same answer. Upon my first two semesters in college, there was no growth in my life. I still went to church every Sunday and Wednesday and still proclaimed to know Jesus Christ, but my life told a different story. As Colossians 2:13 says, I was dead in my sin. I just wasn't comfortable telling myself that yet. In the fall of 2010, the college group, like every year, went to Winter Park Mountain. I was genuinely excited for this trip. However, it wasn't for the right reason. I wanted to ski, not listen to lessons. Fortunately for me, God had a completely different plan in mind. Dusty Burris's good friend, Wade Grubbs, had prepared lessons on biblical femininity, biblical masculinity, and how to pursue dating in a biblical context. He could not have been more clear on what God had intended in this area. I came home from that trip with a completely different mindset. Therefore, I started making subtle changes in the decisions I made in my day-to-day life. On April 8th of this year, God finally got a hold of my heart and broke every plan I had made for myself. Isaiah 53:5 says, "But he was pierced through for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, the chastening for our well-being fell upon him." So I decided, as James 4:7 says, to submit therefore to God. I submitted my will to his and placed my salvation in the hands and of a Savior who so mercifully and graciously chose to rescue me from eternal separation. Over these past several months, God has been teaching me many things. First and foremost, that this walk is not to be taken lightly. As Luke 9:23 says, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." And that is why I'm here tonight to be baptized.
Well, Heather, thank you for your testimony. It's a wonderful reminder, isn't it, that we never as parents give up praying for our children or sharing the gospel with them, calling them to examine themselves. Heather, because you have given very clear testimony that you have repented of your sins, that you have embraced Jesus Christ as Lord, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Carol Walker. When I was 8 years old, I made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ and was baptized. But though I knew the story of the gospel, I had not been transformed by it. I was still convinced that my good things were righteous enough to keep me in the grace of God, because my sin was certainly not as bad as others. I went to church. I prayed before every meal. I even read my Bible sometimes. But my life had not been submitted. I had not forsaken all for the one I called my Lord. I had never been broken over sin, never seen the death of it, and certainly had never realized the truth of John 3:36, where Jesus himself says that whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. I had never obeyed the Son. My life was mine, not Christ's. I claimed to love him, but never obeyed his commandments. And I'd never crucified my flesh with its passions and lusts. I was enslaved to them. I was 17 during the summer of 2009, and through his divine sovereignty and his word, God showed me my true depravity in light of the person of Jesus Christ. In my brokenness, I begged God for mercy from what I finally realized I'd always deserved. Sin's wages are death. But the richness of God's grace, far exceeding the power of sin, gave me the free gift of eternal life in his Son, Jesus Christ. As Colossians 1:13 and 14 says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have the redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And also in Colossians 1:21 and 22 says, and you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Now, not because of my personal righteousness or worthiness, but because of the sacrifice of my Savior and my Lord Jesus Christ, I can boldly approach the holy God, no longer being under his wrath, but now being known by him, adopted into his kingdom, and fully pardoned by the blood of his Son. For he who the Son sets free shall be free indeed. John 8:36. I've been set free from my sin and have become a slave of righteousness. So I'm here today out of an overwhelming love for my Jesus to bring him glory and obey his command to be baptized.
Carol, thank you so much for your clear testimony of the work God has done in your heart. You're a wonderful reminder of what we were even studying this morning, that before a person can approach God in Christ, they first have to realize
that they're beggars and have nothing to offer God. Because God has clearly brought you to that place. And more than that, He's brought you to see that your only hope was in His Son. And you placed your faith in Him as Lord and Savior. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Tad Reiser. I was raised in a Christian home, attended church, a Christian school, and baptized at an early age. I had a head knowledge of God's word, but lacked any true desire to be obedient. As I grew older, there would be times of conviction and fear of going to hell. I would ask Christ in my heart, but afterwards there would be no change in my life. I remember a friend said to me, "You talk like a Christian, but you don't act like one." Finally, through the preaching of God's word, reading of God's word, the influence of my parents and others, the Lord brought into my life, true conviction of sin weighed on my heart. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Taking an honest look at my life, I indeed failed the test. On a Sunday afternoon in the winter of 2004, I fell on my knees in utter desperation and confessed Christ as Lord of my life. Romans 10:9. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Since that time, I can truly say the Lord has provided understanding of his word, which has revealed more sin in my life. I still sin, but I lack the desire. I have a true desire to be obedient to God's word, to teach my family, and a true burden for the needs of others. I continue to grow in Christ through the hearing of his word, Bible study, and prayer. I come now in simple obedience to be baptized.
Tad, thank you for your testimony. Thank you for reminding us that it is only God's grace that reaches through our self-righteousness, our previous confessions or professions of faith, that brings us to see our true need. Because he's done that in your life, because you've come to see Jesus Christ as Savior and you've confessed him as Lord, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Thoria Knutson, and I'm here to share my testimony with you. I grew up in a home that had a love for material things. We never went to church, and we knew nothing about the gospel. In fact, we didn't even own a Bible. It wasn't until the age of 19 that the Lord sent two Christians to witness to me. Through the faithfulness of my mother and my father-in-law, they discipled me and continually prayed for my salvation. Little did I know that it would be several years before coming to saving faith. The Lord continued to draw me through the years, but I had a resistant heart. I had a heart that was willing to learn but not willing to let God take control of my life. James 1:22-24. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. I had read this passage several times before, but one day the truth of the scripture hit me. I was that very person who looked into the mirror. The Lord convicted me of my sin, and this weighed heavily on my heart. I knew I was a sinner, but I now understood that I was deliberately sinning against God. I repented, and I asked God for forgiveness. That day, I asked Jesus into my heart, not only as my Lord, but as my Savior. Psalm 51, 10 through 13, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. In the continuing weeks, I began to notice a change within me. I had a longing to read God's word. I desired it, I hungered for it, and I still can't get enough of it. I have been given a joy within me that is unexplainable. And now I have a love for others that was never there before. I pray daily for the Lord to make his path known to me so that I may walk in righteousness. Matthew 4:16 best puts it this way: let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And this is why I'm here to be baptized.
Thraya, thank you for sharing your testimony with us. You know, I was telling them before as we talked in the room and prayed together that the emotional impact of what the Lord has done in our lives is overwhelming, isn't it? It is for me. Even as I hear these testimonies, I'm reminded of God's work in my own life. And we appreciate your sharing your testimony with us. It's also a wonderful reminder to us, isn't it, to share the gospel with those around us who may never have heard the good news. Because you heard the good news, Thraya, and because through the work of the Spirit, you came to understand it. You came to see your sin, to see the beauty of Christ, to embrace him as Lord. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Marcia Perez, and I'm here to share my testimony with you. I grew up in a home where church attendance was required and where grace was said at every meal, but where the Bible was not taught and where I learned legalism and how to say and do all the right things, but with no heart change. I prayed the sinner's prayer and was baptized as a child, but none of that ever bore fruit in my life. When I moved away for college, I chose to live my life so as to please myself. I had no regard for others and generally had a very selfish outlook on everything. By the end of my time in college, I had stopped attending church at all and was pretty set on not going back. 2 years before I graduated, I began to work at the local municipality under the immediate supervision of a man who was a Christian. He would invite me to church, but I would repeatedly decline. After the first year, I can't recall why, but I decided to go ahead and go. For the first time, I was actually interested in what the pastor was saying and decided to come back every week on my own. When I moved to Texas in 2002, I continued to go to church regularly, but I see now that my heart was not truly broken over my sin. Despite teaching a college Sunday school class and even getting baptized again, in late 2006, I recall feeling very spiritually unsettled. I remember feeling very dissatisfied with what I saw as being a Christian. With absolutely no clue what to do about it, I prayed to God to bring me a crisis, and he did. He led me through a succession of circumstances that caused me to look very closely at what I believed, and he exposed me to the writings of the Puritans, who through their exposition of Scripture magnified the incredible holiness of God to me. At that moment, I knew I was a sinner, and I knew that God knew my deeds and that they defied his holy law. I felt exposed and wanted to run and hide. I did not yet understand grace and tried to appease God by being good, but always fell short. Over time and through the good teaching at Countryside, God brought me to understand the meaning of grace and that Christ left nothing undone on the cross. It was all of grace, from his life and sacrifice to his gift of faith to me so that I may believe. Where there was once fear, there is now peace, and I take great comfort in Romans 3:21-25. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. Because I know that I have peace with God through Jesus Christ, I'm coming before you tonight to be baptized.
Marcia, thank you so much. It's been wonderful to see God's work in your life, to see how through a deeper understanding of the truth, he's led you to fully comprehend your own heart, but more importantly, to fully comprehend the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and to find your hope not in yourself, but in him. Because you've come to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, to embrace it, and to embrace our Lord. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, I know your heart has been encouraged tonight by what you've heard. I know you have been stirred. Those of you who are in Christ, you know what that's like. You know how God has worked in your own life. But as we close our service tonight, I don't want to take anything for granted. I just want to briefly make sure we all understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, which all of these who've been baptized tonight have embraced. It really comes down to four very simple truths. The first truth is that God is the righteous creator. He has made each of us. He sustains our lives. He gives us everything we need to live on this planet. Every blessing we enjoy flows to us from his hand. If you're living and breathing, then everything you enjoy is an expression of his goodness to you. But in addition to being our creator, he also laid down laws for how we are to conduct ourselves. He made those very clear to us. There's no question about them because he wrote them, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 2, on every single person's heart. Your conscience works in tune with those laws to bring conviction. It accuses you when you sin and it excuses you when you do right. You know because you felt the sting of conscience. You have been convicted that what you were doing is contrary to that law that the righteous creator has written on your heart. And that's true of every one of us. He's the righteous creator who demands perfect obedience. The problem is with the second part of the gospel, and that is that man, by nature, all of us, you, me, each of us, is by nature a rebellious sinner. We have a good God who has created us and who sustains our lives, who's laid down his law for us to understand. But rather than following that law, both by birth we're sinners and by choice we're sinners. When we're old enough to choose against what our consciences tell us, what the law of God written in our hearts says, what the Word of God says, if we had the privilege to know it, we respond not in obedience, but in rebellion. We like our sin. We like our own way. As the prophet Isaiah put it, each of us has turned to his own way. That's what we want, our own path. Let me carve my own channel. Let me do what I want to do, what brings me joy and happiness and pleasure. The problem with that is the righteous God who has laid down laws has also laid down penalties. And he has promised that where there is sin, it will be punished. He's a God of perfect justice. Not a single sin you or I have ever committed will go unpunished. That brings us to the third great truth, and that is that Jesus is the sinless Savior. Because although God's justice demanded punishment for each of our sins, and the Scripture is very clear, that means eternal hell for every single one of us. That's what you deserve, that's what I deserve. If we got justice, that's what we would get. But God is not only a God of justice, he's also a God of amazing grace, as we sang together tonight. Grace, you know what that is? Grace is a quality in God that causes him to delight in doing good to those who deserve exactly the opposite. And because of his grace, God did something extraordinary. His justice demands that the sin be paid for, that the penalty be met, and so he couldn't simply forgive us and let us walk away. His justice had to be met. And so God, in eternity past, came up with a plan. This is what the Bible teaches. This is what Jesus taught. And that plan was to send his son. And for his son to live as a full human being on this planet and to live according to the laws that God had established for all of us. In other words, he sent Jesus to live the life I should have lived. You should have lived. And then, you know the story, he died. Not for his own sin, he had none, but for the sins of all of those who would ever believe. On the cross, God treated Jesus as if he had lived the sinful life of every single person who will ever believe. If you're a believer, you were there that day at the cross. Your sins were there. And God was pouring out his wrath on your sin. And if you will believe, the same is true for you. That's the gospel. But he didn't stay dead. He died for our sin, but God made it clear that he accepted all that Jesus said and did and taught, and the gospel that he accomplished, that he taught rather, and the salvation that he accomplished at the cross by raising him from the dead the third day, even as Jesus had promised he would. That's the good news. But there's another component to the gospel. It's not just that God is a righteous creator whose justice demands that we live according to his righteousness, and to whatever extent we don't, it be punished. And we're not only rebellious sinners who have chosen to rebel against that law, and Jesus is not only the righteous and holy and sinless Savior, but we have to do something. It's not something we can really do ourselves. God enables us to do it, but he commands us to do it. And therefore, you have to respond to the gospel. The fact that all of that happened doesn't change you or your eternal position before God one bit. Without your response to that gospel, you are just as condemned by the justice of God tonight as you've ever been. And someday, Jesus said, you will individually, personally stand before your Creator, and every single sin will meet his justice. You have to respond. if you don't want that. Jesus proclaimed it his whole ministry. We don't have to wonder how you ought to respond. Jesus made it very clear. Everywhere he went, Mark said, he preached this message. Here's how to respond to the gospel. Jesus said, repent and believe in the gospel. That's it. There's nothing really to do. There's nothing you can do. You have to come recognizing you can do nothing. This morning we were studying the Beatitudes where Jesus says you have to come like a beggar to God, realizing you have nothing to offer him. But you come repenting of your sins. That is a willingness to turn from what you know is your rebellion against God. And you have to place your faith in him as Lord and Savior. You have to be willing to give up your life to get his salvation. But for all those who will repent and believe, for all those who will embrace Jesus Christ as Lord, the gospel and its message becomes yours personally. If tonight you have never believed that message, if you've never repented of your sins, you've never believed in Jesus Christ, if you will do that tonight, God will change you. He will give you a new heart. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you remember in that interchange, and he'll also forgive your sins. Forgive your sins and declare you to be right with him, not because you are personally right, but because his son is right and you are connected to his son. So here's the gospel in a nutshell. On the cross, God treated Jesus as if he had lived the sinful life of every single person who will believe, so that forever he could treat us as if we had lived Jesus' perfect life. That's the gospel. And it's my prayer that you will respond to that gospel if you have not. Let's pray together. Our Father, we have heard the gospel in many different ways tonight. We've heard it from the mouths of those who've shared their testimonies in the waters of baptism. We've heard them proclaim that truth from many different angles. And Father, I pray that you would bring the gospel to bear on our hearts. Lord, I pray for those of us who are already in Christ. Encourage us, remind us with the good news that we stand forgiven in Christ, that we stand, as Paul says, in grace. That not only were we saved by grace, but we are sustained every day by grace. We grow by grace, and someday by your grace, we will be ushered into your presence. Father, remind us as well that if we're in Christ, we have a responsibility to share that good news with others, to open our mouths to our family and friends and neighbors and coworkers, and let them know the good news that you have brought into our lives. Father, make us faithful to do that. Don't let us keep this wonderful news to ourselves. Father, I also pray for those here tonight who have never acknowledged their sin to you. They have never repented. They've never been willing to turn from their rebellion, from those things in their lives that they know are contrary to your will and purpose and word, and to turn to Jesus Christ and embrace him as Lord and Savior, to cry out to you, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Father, I pray that before this day is done, there would be those here tonight in whose heart you would work, draw them to yourself, bring them to that place, to the very end of who they are, so that all they can do is look up. Lord, we pray that you would accomplish that for your glory. And in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, we pray. Amen.